Well, my watch or my phone says it's 11 o'clock, so we'll call this meeting to order, let the record show. This is Internal Affairs. It is Wednesday, July the 30th at 11. And Commissioner Breeze, do we have you?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Ah, sounds good. Glad to have you. Okay, let's start for item number one.
Samantha Sabula and Ben Crawford of Commission staff. I'm going to start with a little background. In 2011, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission issued Order 1000 addressing regional transmission planning. Order 1000 required transmission stakeholders to develop plans to implement the order. FERC must approve the plans. In July 2013, FERC largely rejected the plans submitted by the Southeastern Regional Transmission Plan utilities and directed the utilities to submit further compliance filings. The utilities and this commission requested rehearing of FERC's July 2013 decision. Notwithstanding the request for rehearing, the utilities still had to submit their further compliance filings. On June 19, 2014, FERC issued an order denying the commission's request for rehearing and directed the utilities to file additional compliance filings. On July 21st, the Office of General Counsel, on behalf of the commission, filed a request for rehearing of the June order. Staff is seeking the commission's approval of the request for the rehearing filing. The filing can be withdrawn if the commission so wishes. The commission will have the opportunity to request appellate review once the request for a hearing is resolved by FERC. However, if the commission wishes to pursue appellate review now, then a notice of appeal must be filed by August 18th. And staff is seeking the commission's guidance as to whether it wishes to stick with the rehearing filing or whether it wishes to pursue other options.
Thank you, Samantha. Commissioners, questions of staff? Commissioner Aldis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the report. I fully support requesting a rehearing on this matter. I'm disappointed that the EPA did not address any of our issues we raised in our first request for rehearing, so hopefully they will listen to us at this time. I firmly believe that Florida is unique in its geography with very little interconnection. We have a transmission planning process that we have used, and having a top-down approach may limit our flexibility or result in additional costs to customers. So I fully support the request for rehearing in this matter.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you. Samantha, if we keep the rehearing request as staff has pursued, can we ultimately then appeal that after the decision is made, or are we foreclosed?
Actually, FERC requires that you ask for rehearing in order to appeal. We've already had the one rehearing request, so we can appeal now. We filed the second one, so we should be able to request appeal for that one once they resolve the issue. And also, just to keep in mind, is that there's also the issue pending with the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals at this point, and we have raised the issue about the state jurisdiction versus FERC jurisdiction in that matter. So this could all be resolved by that court any day now. Oral argument has been held in that, so we're awaiting their decision. So we are anticipating that we might get a decision soon in that regard, too.
Any insight into what that decision might be?
No, I did listen to the oral arguments, and there were some questions about whether it's might be ripe for review at this point, since the plans haven't been approved yet, and how it all would work out, and whether, based on the plan that's approved, whether it would infringe on the state jurisdictions, and it might maybe be better to wait till the plans are approved and then actually start to be implemented before you need to raise the issue. But that's just something that was discussed at the oral argument. That doesn't mean that that's going to be the decision. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else, commissioners? So it looks like we're going to move forward with the staff's plan.
Okay.
Sounds good. I agree.
All right.
Thank you.
Quick and simple. I like that. Number two. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Futrell and Roseanne Gervasi with staff. In this item, staff is seeking your approval of the approach to implement the provisions of Senate Bill 272. As you heard at the previous internal affairs meeting, the governor signed the bill into law, and it became effective July 1st. The legislation prescribes a process by which customers of a water utility may petition the commission to revoke the utility's certificate of authorization. Staff is developing a draft of a new rule to implement this section and will bring a recommendation to propose a rule by the end of the year. Should customers of a water utility seek to initiate the petition process before a rule is adopted, staff is prepared to respond to the requirements of the statute. Also, the legislation requires the commission to consider in a rate proceeding the extent to which a water utility provides service that meets the DEP's secondary water quality standards. This provision will be addressed in a rate proceeding, and staff is reviewing existing rules to determine if any revisions are necessary. Finally, the legislation provides general revenue funding for three positions. Staff is in the process of establishing those positions and would expect to advertise those positions in the next 60 days. We're available to answer your questions.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Futrell. I have a few questions. First, does this apply to all IOU class sizes?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. So small class Cs. Okay, so that 65% threshold applies across the board.
Yes.
Regarding the receivership issue, so I know that 367.165 controls that, but you know the statute doesn't really get into it too much. It just says on I guess it is subsection 5C. Says that a receiver must be appointed pursuant to 367.165 until a sale. So basically, the commission has the authority under this new statute to require a utility to sell. And then they would abide by the receivership statute, correct?
Correct.
Until that time occurs.
Yes.
Sounds that way, yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that even apply for marginal quality of service? Because it says somewhere in there, it says anywhere, anything that's not deemed satisfactory. Would that even apply for marginal?
I think if the commission would probably need to make a determination that the service is unsatisfactory, not simply marginal.
That's what I think, but that's not what the statute provides.
In order to revoke the certificate, well, it doesn't say marginal, though.
No.
It doesn't. It just says anything not deemed satisfactory.
Not deemed satisfactory.
Which is
so
kind of vague.
It would be cleaner to say unsatisfactory, but, you know, it's going to be a will be trailblazing.
Is this a pending litigation? Is it being challenged? Do you know?
Not that we're aware of, no.
A couple more questions, Mr. Chairman. From a staffing perspective, I know it allocates three staffing personnel from three different departments. And what is the purpose of that, and who will be the primary office of responsibility? Fielding customer complaint, you know, the customer petition, et cetera.
We've talked about that a little bit. I think we're definitely going to be, because this is going to put us in a mode of, revoking the statute, revoking the certificate. We've thought about that we'll have to bifurcate the staff and have a prosecutorial staff, an advisory staff, so we'll have to divide that. And our structure, our current organization allows for that. And so there'll be a group of staff that will be prosecuting the case, shepherding the customer groups, ensuring all that, the testimony, and conducting the hearing. Then there'll be a separate staff group that will evaluate the record and write a recommendation, bring that to the commission at an agenda.
So do you envision a customer petition or a group of a petition occurring during a pending rate case concurrently?
I believe, if I recall the statute correctly, in a rate case, I believe they're precluded from bringing a customer petition. If I remember that,
I don't
double check that.
So in a rate case means just once they filed it?
Yeah. It's in... it's actually page 8 of the item, which is 367.08123.
Yeah, I see that.
Customers may not petition the commission to revoke the certificate if it's subject to a proceeding under this chapter, which is a rate proceeding.
Okay. Thank you. That helps. Getting back to the receivership issue, it doesn't really talk about corrective measures under that applicable section. It just, so a utility does not have the choice to cure whatever quality standards if the commission goes ahead and decides to put the order the utility to be placed into receivership. Does the utility have the option to cure the problems, and where is that?
And you're speaking to the customer petition process.
Right.
No, yep.
Yeah.
That's at the bottom of page 6 of the item, which is 367.072.5b. And one, the three options that the legislation provides for a commission to consider is to dismiss the petition or to require the utility to take necessary steps to cure the issues. The third option is revoke the certificate. So
I guess,
there is
yeah.
contemplation for some kind of a curing of the issues.
I guess really what I'm getting at is, does the utility have the ability to appeal the decision to place the utility in receivership? It doesn't seem to have a
yes, once there's a final order, when the commission issues a final order after a hearing, that order will be reviewable on appeal.
Okay. And last question, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your latitude here. The testimony portion on page 3, section 2, it talks about requiring the commission to specifically consider, and it delineates 4 different issues. And I noticed that it says and, so we must consider all 4. Is that correct?
Yes.
The question that I'm getting at for a SARC or, let's say, really any utility, the testimony of the customers and the evidence, I'm assuming that's sworn testimony, and that would probably be conducted during, what, a service hearing? Or how would that process work?
I think we do contemplate there would be a service hearing. Now, whether it's sworn or not, I'm not sure about that. But I think, you know, typically SARCs, are, we have some sort of a way of gathering public testimony. Or we would.
I mean, the requirement is to consider testimony and evidence by the customer.
I agree with you. It's a little bit nebulous because when you think of testimony and evidence, you just immediately assume that it's sworn. But again, we'll be trailblazing, and it does seem like it may be something a little bit looser than that, such as a service hearing where we take customer testimony, whether it's sworn or not. It's recorded. You may be able to consider that.
I don't know. Given the magnitude and implications of this and the commission's ability to assess penalties, I think it would probably more be prudent for it to be sworn testimony for appellate purposes. But no more questions.
I have a couple of questions. First one, Commissioner Brown asked you earlier that this is for all IOUs, correct?
Yes.
So how is it controlled, those IOUs in the 31 counties that we don't control? How is that dealt with?
It would only be the IOUs that the commission has jurisdiction over.
So is there anything that the other IOUs, is there any mechanism here that allows for them to do the same thing?
It's not expressly stated in the new legislation, so they just didn't address that. It's going to be in section, it already is, in section 367, which is the commission's operating statute. So
there is no, I guess, what did the other people do right now? They have to just go before their specific county commissions and deal with it there?
Correct.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It talks about the, as they count the 65%, a single meter is considered one vote. And it also says a master meter. Is that considered one vote, or is that considered however different many units that one master meter is feeding?
Well, certainly a master meter customer can bring petitions forward. There has to be 65% of those who are customers, if you will, of the master meter, and then that may count. Now, whether that counts as one vote or the totality of how that fits into the total 65%, I'm not sure we've gotten that far down the road as far as fleshing that particular question out. But
well, you know, the legislation says that a person whose name appears on the bill for a master meter may sign the petition if at least 65% of the customers, tenants, or unit owners served by the master meter support the petition. So you can have one person, if it's a master meter, signing the petition for everybody, it sounds like, as long as they have the support of 65%.
I mean, but you can have a utility that master meter is, it's half of what they provide. And so I guess my question is, are you considering that 50%, or you only can consider that one vote?
Right. Yeah, I don't think we've gotten that far in trying to, and that's something I think will definitely come up in rulemaking, is trying to flesh out some of those questions.
Other question, looking in the legislation, actually we'll look on your sheet that you have, page 2. We can just look at your sheet. The fourth bullet down, because I thought the whole purpose of this was making sure that we are at a, they're pushing for a secondary standard. But why does it say, if you look at federal or state primary water quality standards or secondary water quality standards?
I think that's part of the information that the utility has to respond to the commission. If there is a customer petition, then that's part of the documentation that, they would provide to make their case as to their how they their view of their water quality service, and they would file information on compliance regarding any federal state standards.
But I thought one of the key reasons why this legislation was even proposed is because they wanted for them to go further than just to a standard potable water standard. They want to go to that secondary standard.
Right.
And this makes it sound like the utility comes back, all they had to do is say, well, look, we've met the federal potable water standard. And so where does the whole proof of that secondary standard come in?
Well, DEP does have secondary water quality standards, and the utilities are required to report every 3 years on their compliance with those standards. So that would be a factor in the information that the commission would consider, is compliance with secondary standards that DEP administers.
So this legislation doesn't cost for them to do that secondary standard any more than what they're currently doing, which is every 3 years.
Right, recognizes that DEP has administers the secondary standards, utilities report to DEP, so it doesn't address whether or not DEP should relook at their standards or do anything. It just recognizes that that's a factor and an information that's brought before the commission in this process.
So the three positions that we get out of this statute, what are those three positions going to be doing?
Well, certainly if we get one of these petitions comes in, it's going to be a full-time effort. It's going to be a lot of work. And so these people will be, you know, working on with the prosecutorial staff, getting ready for the hearing, working with the customers and ensuring that all the testimony is lined up and ready to go, dealing with procedural matters, working with legal on procedural matters. And then the advisory staff will be monitoring what's going on, evaluating the record, writing the recommendation. So
what do they do before we get that?
Certainly there's going to be a lot of training to get people up to speed on these issues. There will be, institutional knowledge that we need to be shared, that needs to be shared with these folks regarding situations that have come up in the water industry. You know, we've got experience on the Aloha case, all kinds of details that we'll be training these folks.
And I assume these three people won't be doing any of the testing, so we'll have to contract that out.
Well, certainly we'll be relying on DEP and their reports. If it comes to a point where we feel like we need to do some testing, then that may require some additional resources. But
well, we don't have any funding for that testing.
Correct.
There'll be a lot of work on the front end for staff in ferreting through the petitions, because the statute is very specific about what each petition must contain, and there'll be a lot of petitions that will come in. Each customer who signs a petition will have to state whether or not they've complained to the utility, how often, exactly what the water quality issue is for each and every one. And when you have 65% of a large utility, that's a lot of petitions to go through. Just to determine the facial sufficiency of the petition itself will take a lot of time. And then the looking at whether the company is in compliance with the secondary standards, the DEP secondary standards, is an important consideration, but it's only one of the considerations. So the staff, and then of course the commission, will also be looking at the other considerations as well, the complaints, how the company interacts with the customers, do they have good customer service, and the other enumerated considerations that go beyond, you know, do they meet secondary standards? That's not, you know, the only thing that will determine whether the commission should revoke a certificate or require remedial measures.
Commissioner Brown.
Do you have, or could you provide to our offices the correspondence that you developed and the instructions and the petition forms? I'd like to see those, and I'm sure the other commissioners would too.
Sure.
Also, I didn't know if Catherine Pennington wanted to chime in here for any reason or not.
Not so far.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go.
She ducked that one, didn't she?
She did. I wanted to bring her up here.
Anything else from commissioners? Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, yeah. I just wanted, I'd like to chime in real quick here. With regards to the three positions, I mean, I think that was, it is obviously very helpful to what you can see is going to be a pretty hefty effort. But any implication that you may take from just having three positions, three additional positions, provided that that's all we are going to dedicate to these types of matters, the one doesn't have anything to do with the other. I hope you know that.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people involved, I guess is the point. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. All right. Legislative updates.
I'm good. Thank you.
Executive Director report.
Commissioners, we are right now in the process of closing our books for the previous fiscal year, and hopefully by at some point in August we will be able to visit with you individually and show you our position.
Okay.
For the past year, how it went. Thank you.
Other matters. I like that. That being said, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
All right.